Welcome to the Scripture News Podcast with your host, Ray Pompa.
One man stepped into a cage to fight opponents. But the greatest battles of his life happened outside the cage. Three devastating accidents. The loss of a leg. Countless questions. Yet through it all, he found something stronger than victory. He found Christ.
All right, I'd like to welcome Sean McCafferty to the Scripture News Podcast. Thank you, Sean, for being with us today so you can share your story.
This is all mine, Ray.
All right, a little bit of background. You competed as a light heavyweight for King of the Cage organization. You're in a first-round rear naked choke victory in your professional debut before facing several tough opponents and subsequent King of the Cage events. Now, Sean, I think people are going to be surprised that this isn't really an interview about MMA so much as it's really about how God works through suffering.
Yeah.
But before we get into our story, I want to show our viewers another video clip to get them a little bit more acquainted with you as a fighter. Is that okay?
That's fine.
All right, here we go.
With his opponent tonight, I think he's going to try and keep Sean McCafferty taking on Lars Haven tonight at King of the Cage, Cage Chaos. Wow! Sean McCafferty in with that right.
Man, it looks like that guillotine takes to his back.
Okay. Sean, tell us a little bit about how you got started. Why MMA and how difficult was it for you to reach King of the Cage?
Well, I started out as at 10 years old boxing. And I had a knack for it from the beginning. My first six fights, I had six first round KOs at 10 years old. So I went on boxing for several years. And then I was at the gym one day. And in Beaumont, at a gym in Beaumont, and they somebody had asked me, I was training people boxing, and I'm real good with my stand up, you know, and I had my guys looking real good, and people had caught notice, and a guy had called me, and wanted to know if I was interested in doing a professional MMA fight, and that was Ernie Perea, which mad props to Ernie, what a good man, and. That began my journey into King of the Cage. So, you know, and that also, go ahead, Ray.
Yeah. So what did it feel like walking into the cage for the first time?
Oh, that was something else. I'd only had 2 months of training. Thank God for Ernie. He got me a good little base, you know. But my problem is I was just a stubborn man, dude. I thought I knew it all. I'd been boxing so long, and I thought just because I was this amazing boxer, I was going to go in there and just tear it up, you know. And luckily, the first fight, I did get the guy and got him down due to Ernie, a little bit of groundwork Ernie trained me in. And I was able to get the rear naked choke. But, it's quite the sport, quite a bit different from boxing, I can tell you that.
Hmm. Well, speaking of Ernie, we're going to have him on probably next week.
That's a good man.
Yeah, he has a story to tell himself. So let me ask you, was fear ever a factor when you got into the cage?
No. I spent all my life, you know, most of my life always fighting. So a fight to me was no different than going for a walk, you know, excitement. But not really. No, I didn't really get fear in me, which I wish I would have had a little more fear. That would have made me a little more attentive and more open ear to, you know, to be more of a listener, you know, because I wasn't too much of a listener.
Okay, here's a big question. Were you already a Christian, or what was going on at that time?
I was a Christian, but I was a Christian that I was living in sin still, living with a woman I wasn't married to. Money was my money became my idol. You know, I was doing really well successfully with a business career, construction company, and the fights. And, you know, I sold a lot of tickets, so I made good money at my fights, you know, more than anybody else. I sold more tickets than anybody else. But, So.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, when you're a fighter, fighting sort of kind of becomes your identity, right?
All of it.
Yeah. So did you always think that you were going to compete, or what kind of dreams did you have when you got into the fight game?
Well, I planned on, when I was younger, I planned on fighting professionally. Me and Alvin Walton, a friend of mine that played for the Washington Redskins, we sat outside of a gym one time when we were in high school, and he looked at me and he says, Sean, I'm going to play for the NFL one day. I said, I'm going to fight professionally one day, Alvin. And we shook hands on it, and life went on, and then there goes Alvin to the NFL, and he became he got a Super Bowl ring. I mean, the guy did it phenomenal. And then I went on into a world spiraling in and out of drug addiction, you know, and working for organized crime as a tax man or hunting down money for people. And it wasn't until my mid-40s that I turned pro, and I'm going down the ramp. And guess who's right at the beginning of the cage? Alvin Walton. He says, dude, it's about time you held up to your end of the deal. And I gave him a big old hug. I said, yeah, I'm a little late. I said, but I made it. And then I ended up taking the guy out in 32 seconds. And Alvin was right there giving me a big hug. So that was a phenomenal, that was a really neat God shot.
Here comes the hard part. I understand there wasn't just one accident. There were actually several. Why don't you go ahead and tell us your story?
You know, from the beginning of my life, it was all a wreck, you know, off and on. I had a good family upbringing. But when it comes to the what really changed my life was, you know, I was battled with drugs since I was 15 years old. I hit the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous at 15. I've never stopped going back. I've had relapse in between. I've had double digits in years, but I've always struggled in and out. But I always make it back because I know that I need to be in that program for me to stay alive. I know this. And my life went in and out like that, right? And then I hit then I got it together. Being one of my good, I had a bunch of years, like 13 years sober. And anyways, I ended up getting it together and became a fighter and got my general contractor's license. And then once I started fighting, I did. My thing was, man, I'll tell you, with the fighting, I was the guy that thought I knew it all. And there's that documentary that you did, Ray, you know, I watched that and I show people what you don't want to be like. It's not to make me shine. That's to show the consequences of not listening to your corner, not paying attention to God and life. And in return, you know, well, when life hit me, I was leaving an AA meeting, and I had one of the biggest wins I'd ever had. The Gracies were there with their guy at a Temecula, their best striker. Awesome fight. I thought I was going to lose. And I went in, I told that guy, good luck, patted him on the shoulder. I looked down at myself. I said, good luck. I walked off. Yeah. I looked back at him. I said, don't hit me too hard. I'm old and I swell. Joking around, right? But something inside me told me that I was going to win that fight that night. And I had a guy that walks around with a cross. He's carried the cross around the world, like I think it's equivalent to two times around the world. Big, heavy cross. And I stopped him one day in the street before the fight. I said, Wes, I already knew his name. I said, will you pray for me? I'm about to go into a fight. And I need some prayer. And he looked at me and he started looking up. He says, I'll tell him. And I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, God wants me to tell you something. This man is amazing. His walk with God is amazing. And he says he walks with angels. They communicate with him. And I tell you, I believe him 100%. I've heard a lot of his stories about people trying to attack him on the side of the road, and all of a sudden they take off running. They look up and they see something, and he doesn't. He knows. He says they're my angels. So anyway, so he told me it was me the toughest fight of my life. That God would show himself in the middle of the fight to show that he was there with me and that I would win, and not to worry about it. So anyways, the fight came, and I'll be dang if that guy we're me and this guy are banging the heck out of each other. I figured I was going to lose. He wasn't my original opponent. He was a fill-in fighter, and my original opponent was watching me warm up, got scared, and left. You know, I'm a good striker, and when I'm warming up, I hit the pads pretty good. He didn't like that. So this other guy outweighed me by, I don't know, 35, 40 pounds, you know, and they said, you got this guy, and the Gracies were there with him, and I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to get beat up. I said, but oh, well, okay, learning experience, and I'll be dang if I didn't go in, and I barely won the fight. The neat thing was in the middle of the second, at the end of the second round, I'm being choked out. And I'm just getting ready to pass that, and the bell rings. I said, oh, there you are, God. And right then, I had the fight. I knew it. It was a split decision. Afterwards, we prayed in the ring, held our hands high. We prayed right in the center of the ring. They wouldn't give us the mic, so me and him were both Christians. So now I've got another good fight coming up. Probably more than likely, I wanted to challenge for the title, even though, you know, because it was a good win. A couple of weeks before I was going to schedule another, you know, the big fight, I got hit, leaving an AA meeting by a drunk driver. But this is where it gets kind of weird. I've been hit three times in the same spot. Two of them horribly crushing me up. Third one was about a year ago in a mobility scooter block from the scene. A lady hit me in the crosswalk. Luckily, it didn't. I wasn't quite far enough to the center of a truck. So it pushed me out into the road, but I was okay. But the first one, this is where it gets, this is where everything changes. Now, mind you, I was the kind of guy that last fight was the only time I ever listened to my corner, and I won. Otherwise, Ernie used to tell me, Sean, I don't feel good. You know, I would never listen. That was my biggest thing. I thought I knew it all, you know. I had no humility. You know, I had a big house, boats, everything. I couldn't wait to bring people over to see what I had. I was just stuck on money was my idol, you know. So I leave the meeting. We're driving down. I got this race motorcycle, and I'm going to sell it because I don't want to, you know, I've already been down in the past. And I'm thinking I don't want to get hurt anymore. So I'm going to make sure it runs. I'll take it to the meeting. Come back down a couple blocks from my house. And I remember exactly thinking, wow, life is good. I'm going slow. The bike's running great. I'll sell it. I'm clean and sober today. I'm going to go for this. Hopefully I can get in there and get its title shot. It's going to be amazing. I'll train for that, you know. And all of a sudden, it felt like somebody put a trash can over my head and hit it with a sledgehammer. And everything was quiet. I was awake, though. But everything was black, but I was awake. All I knew was I was flying. Everything stopped. I didn't know what happened. I glanced my eyes open. I see the top of the telephone pole. And I'm so far off the ground, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm going to die. I can't survive the fall to the ground. There's no way. So as I'm going through the air, all of a sudden, all of a sudden I hear God talking to me. I don't know how else to explain it, like mental telepathy. And it was like, relax your body. Relax as much as you can. So I just went as limp as I could. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to make it to the ground. There's no way, my God, this is a 60-foot pole I'm up above. And everybody from the meeting is behind me. They're all watching this happen, right? So I hit the ground, and I'm like, I hear my helmet. My helmet's crushed in, but my head is still okay. I'm wide awake, and I'm sliding down the road, and this is all slow motion. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm in shorts and a tank top. This is going to be a horrible road burn. And I hit the curb, and I opened up my eyes just for a second, and I went to stand up, and I didn't have a leg to stand on. It was flopped over my way, just looked like Jell-O, and I was, my insides were all crushed up. So I laid back down, and here's where it got kind of weird. The night before, I watched Joel Osteen. He did a sermon on how Jesus didn't change the circumstances, or God didn't change the circumstances for Jesus on the cross, because he had a purpose in the circumstances. So his moral is, his message was, don't look at the circumstances, trust the outcome. So mind you, this was planted in my head. So when I got hit, I'm thinking, okay, relax my body, close my eyes. I went to get up, I said, close my eyes. And all of a sudden it hit me. Sean, you were prepped the night before. You've been prepped. Don't look at the circumstances. Trust the outcome. So I closed my eyes immediately. And the first person came up, he said, you okay? I said, go tell whoever hit me, I forgive him. Go tell whoever hit me, I forgive you. No, you're dying, dude. I can't leave. No, no, no. I said, this is so important to me. I need you to do this for me. So he ran over. He says, she's so drunk, she can't even get out of the car. He goes, but I made sure. I grabbed her and made sure she understood. The man you hit forgives you. And he came back over to me. And then my brother-in-law shows up. My family lives about a mile on each side. They heard it in their houses. The impact was so loud. So they all run to the scene. We have a huge family. There's like 48 grandchildren. Six kids, we all live with about a mile of each other. So they all come in, they're all running from each side. They see it's me, and then my mom rolls up on it, right? So my brother-in-law is the first one around me. He's walking around me. This is a big old bodybuilder dude, right? He says, it's going to be okay, Sean. It's going to be okay. I said, oh, Lord, he's crying. Oh, my God. I said, dang it, Sheldon, now I know I'm bad. And I raised my hands in the air. I started praising God. I said, Lord, thank you for this. I know you have a purpose in this. And God told me to keep my eyes closed. But wait, let me back up. So after I wake up, right, and after I stop after hitting the curb, all of a sudden I'm dying. I knew I was dying. And all of a sudden this feeling, it was no pain, just a feeling of, you're going home. I'm going home. And I knew this is how God was speaking to me, like mental telepathy. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I know what I heard. First thing he said to me was, don't look at your body, you're going to live, okay? Wait, let me back up, okay? So I get this warm feeling, and I'm going to heaven, I'm living good. I know I'm living good, and I'm on my way, and I know I got family waiting for me. And the thing was, is what's weird is God put in my head that my family would be right behind me, that this life is just a vapor, just a vapor. So I was so excited about going. I felt like a little kid outside of Disneyland. And I couldn't wait to get in, and I knew my family would be right behind me. And then all of a sudden, I heard God's voice. I heard a voice in my head. It said, you're going to live. Don't look at your body. So I kept my eyes closed. I said, okay. And then the pain kicked in. And that was just, for a while there, it was just, and then I calmed down because I knew I was squirting blood everywhere. And then the cops came up, and they're like, he's not going to live, man. He's dying. I said, you go over there and talk about it. God already told me I'm going to live. I said, I am not dying. God told me already. You go talk about it over there. So I raised my hands and I started praising Jesus. And I was saying, thank you, Lord, for that. I know you have a purpose in my circumstances. And I heard a little girl tell her mama, mama, he's crazy. I said, no. I put my finger there. I said, God has a purpose in my circumstances. So anyways, I get to the desert. And they're going to take me to Bandy. He said, no, they're going to cut your leg off. So I had a horrible ride for quite a while in one of those box ambulances. And I get to the desert, and I'm awake the whole time, talking to all the ambulance, taking pictures of it all, and not in shock. So, you know, it's kind of I think being a cage fighter kind of makes you kind of a, you know, we're used to seeing ourselves pretty messed up. You know, I mean, I've walked, you've been there, Ray, when I walked out of the cage where I wouldn't tap and the guy walked out with my arm folded all the way backwards at the elbow. So the thing with me is I don't give up. I've never tapped. I don't tap, right? So, you know, I'm stubborn. I let my arm break. That's how, that's not right. Anyway, so I wake up in the hospital and the doctor says, I just want to ask you one thing. Do you believe in God? I said, of course I do, doctor. Why do you think I'm here? Why do you think I'm here? He goes, so let me explain some miracles that took place. He says, we've never seen anybody survive 176 mile an hour head on. They doubled the speed of both cars. It totaled that car out. We've never seen anybody survive that type of an impact, yet alone that fall from that of a height. So it was a miracle there. He says, the other one is they were going to cut your leg off. I happen to be off work. He goes, and I was walking through the hospital board, and I saw them getting ready to cut your leg. I said, I can save the leg. So he saved my leg. He says, when you came in, after three big bags of blood, you're gone. He says, we put four back in you. No medical explanation. And he said that the hospital said that they've never lost x-rays. They had lost my x-rays from the night before because my spleen and my pelvic, I was bleeding internally. So they lost the x-rays. So they re-x-rayed me in the morning. They were going to go in and do surgery in the morning. And I'll be dang, man. They said they re-x-rayed me again, and everything was healed. No blood, nothing. But I had people praying over me all night. You know, so miracle after miracle. That's when I knew that this accident was divinely put into place. And you know, it falls back to the trials or painful situations allowed by God to change your conduct and character. I'm a stubborn man. God has to take really evasive measures. You know, look at King David in the Bible, the greatest shepherd of all. When those sheep would wander astray, he would break their legs, nurse them back to health, and carry them everywhere. And they would never leave his side again. Well, I kept jumping off of God's back because, again, I'm going to meet the lady that hit me. Mm-hmm. And she's guided me on a speakerphone. By the way, I batted for her in court. I knew I wasn't supposed to sue her. I found out she was a sick person that needed to be well, not a bad person that needed to get good. So I batted for her in court, and I got her a program. And it changed her life. It changed her life, you know. So I'm going to meet her for the first time, and I'll make this a long story short. So I go to meet her, and I'm sitting. I stop at the spot. I'm on an electric bike. I can't walk yet. I'm going through all these surgeries, but I can stand up on the electric bike. So I get off, and I'm standing up next to it, and I'm looking down. I said, I'm right where you hit me. She goes, I'm so sorry. I said, it's okay. God has a purpose in my, before I can say circumstances, I turn around just in time to see a car that had swerved all the way from one side of the road to the other. And these couples looking at each other. And here's my body right in front of the car. The bike's to the side of me, holding me. And man, I just tucked in with all my everything. And they nailed me and threw me about 80 feet through the air, about 4 feet off the ground. I could not believe it. Here we go again. So I'm flying through the air again. I land on my feet. I slide to a stop. And I stand up. My leg is shattered again. Now it shattered everything out. All new brakes. All the same side. All new brakes were already added to the old ones. And the old ones were all broke again. It's a complete mess. I get up and my leg's kind of wobbly. But I'm getting over to the side of the road. And I'm like, I stood up. I went, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. I'm alive. And I got this leg kind of dangling. But I'm hobbling over to the side of the road because I'm a little bit in shock, I think, at this one. And the lady, the people on the side of the road, I tell them, oh, you gosh. I said, you guys leave before the cops come. I'm just grateful to be alive. And the lady's looking, and she's looking at her car. It jacked her car up. And the husband, I said, just leave. I said, I'm okay. It's going to be okay. You just hit a pedestrian from behind. I said, from the opposite side of the road, you guys need to leave or you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And the lady says, my car. And the husband goes, honey, get in the car. Get in the car. So I gave my number. They never called to check on me, but you know, then I still went to go meet her, the lady that hit me, and I was all bloody. My finger was almost cut off. I got hit by a car again. You know, so she's like, oh my gosh. And I said, well, I don't know. God must have a purpose in my circumstances. So then I go through about, I think it's been almost somewhere around 20 surgeries. I don't know the exact amount, a lot, continuing to try to save the leg. I kept saying, God's going to heal me. God's going to heal me. But during these surgeries, the pain, a lot of a lot of cages, bone grafting all over me. I grew all new bone below the knee, but they kept leaving this one piece of metal in there at the bottom. So I kept getting infected over and over, but they kept doing these bone marrow transplants. They kept doing bone grafts from me, from my hips, my knee, my thighs. I mean, it was just a lot of surgery and a lot of pain. And in between the, I just kept relapsing. I kept relapsing, right? I kept going back to drugs and alcohol. It would just make me crazy. But I'd get back into the meetings and I'd relapse, 3 months relapse. The last time I got hit was about 6 months ago in a crosswalk, like I told you that already. But that one just bruised me up, the third one. I was okay. Thank God. But since all that has happened, I'm in the hospital, and I was here at the house, and they thought they got the last bone graft, and everything was supposed to be good, but they saw that little piece of metal in my leg. And I'm here at the house, and I had been relapsed, and I'm saying, God, I need help, God Almighty, but I'm going to finish this last bowl of drugs in this last bottle before I go to the hospital, right? I want to get it down, my last one, because I knew I was going to get it together again. And man, I waited so long, Ray, that the infection got. I never had a problem above the knee. I waited so long. By the time I went in, I knew I was dying because it started getting in my bloodstream. And I had a fever of 106. And I said, okay, Lord, I don't get to do the last one. I surrender. I completely surrendered to you, Lord. I said, I know I'm going to lose my leg. I know I waited too long. Help me with this. I flushed everything. I went to the hospital. The doctor says, Sean, we're going to have to cut your leg off above the knee now. I said, God's going to heal me, Doc. I went, wow. Guess what, Doc? God's going to heal me, but it's with one leg, not two. Mm-hmm. And I always told everybody, if I ever lose my leg, it'll be a gift. That means that God can use me more with one leg than with two. Now, I've done good with two legs, Ray. I was with the Olympic hopeful swim team swimming. I raced Supercross Yamaha, raced Super Bowl Motocross. I had a wonderful fighting career, general contracting. I've done a lot of good things with two legs. And I knew that my two-legged days for me were over. My one-legged days are for God. You know, so today I help other people that are going through it, other amputees. I've gotten phone calls. I'm able to inspire them. I do have a thing going on against the hospital now because, you know, I did lose my leg. And if that all works out, Ray, then losing my leg is going to build a big, beautiful recovery home here in Banning. Mm-hmm. It's not my money. It's God's money. He has prepared me to circulate his money. So if losing my leg is going to save that, even if it wasn't, if you were to say, Sean, we'll have to cut your leg off, but we'll build this recovery home, but you have to lose a leg. You don't get nothing in return. I'm all in, Ray. I would be all in.
I was going to ask, you know, you've answered pretty much a lot of questions I was going to ask you, but I want to ask you this about losing your leg. What was harder, losing the leg or accepting that life would never be the same?
Well, I knew the minute I got in the wreck, I knew my life would never be the same. And when I lost my leg this time, nothing hard about it, Ray. I'd completely surrendered. I can tell you, I have complete trust in God. True humility to me, true humility is to remain teachable and have complete trust in God. So I know that the way I surrendered was 100% because I haven't looked back or wish I had my leg or I've had a lot of falls, you know, getting used to it. I don't say, dang, if I wish I had my leg. No, it never comes out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. I say, don't you wish you had your leg? No. It took losing my leg for me to become teachable, Ray. I'd rather go to heaven with one leg than to hell with two. You know, and even though I proclaim I was a Christian living for God, before I got hit, you know, I mean, when I was doing the fighting, I had 9 women living with me at one time, sleeping with all of them. I was not going to heaven. I call myself a Christian. That is not a Christian walk. Mm-hmm. You know, today I live complete, 100% obedient to the word of God. I don't sleep with nobody. I stay single. I live my life like an apostle would. And I'm good with that, Ray. I really am. I just want to be the best servant I can be. People say, what do you do for a living today? I say, I'm a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just another bozo on the bus, a middleman.
What? Now, people watch you fight in the cage, but What would you say was the hardest fight that nobody ever saw? I mean, was it like depression, fear, pride?
Addiction. Hands down. Mm-hmm. Hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah.
Because you try to do it on your own a lot. And it's nothing you can do on your own. It takes divine intervention. Mm-hmm. You have to be at a bottom. You have to be desperate. The gift of desperation, of knowing. I knew, Dre, I couldn't go through this without God. I knew that. The other day, I'm sitting in my room, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm thinking, I'm looking at myself, right? I'm looking, I'm thinking, God, thinking I look good. And all of a sudden, I went, oh. I looked down, I went, oh, Lord, finally. I said, oh, man. And I said, oh, Lord, I immediately went, I can never do this without you, God. I can never do this without you. And then it went away, and I realized that, you know, it just brought my ego back down because I can get inflated real quick. My body developed way good with weights and all this, and I think just because I look good that I'm, you know, that's it. I'm the man. And, you know, so by me looking up and looking and doing that and then looking down at my leg and it bringing me right back down to the middle there, I don't think of myself less. I think less of myself.
Well, what did you learn about Jesus that you never knew before since this happened?
That he can carry you through the storm, but it does take obedience.
Yeah.
You have to be obedient. You know, that's the biggest thing is everything you say and do. You know, when I'm in my car, Ray, when I drive my car, when I get out of the car, I let God out. When I get in the car, I open the passenger side door up, and I let God in. So I can always keep aware of his presence around me. Old ways are easy to slip back to. It's constant repetition of doing the right thing all the time, to the best of my ability.
Yeah, this may go without saying, but how does suffering change your faith?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so grateful for it. I mean, I've got months and months sitting in front of the house just, no pain pills work, nothing. It's everything. It's everything, Ray. It wouldn't have happened without it. Wouldn't have happened. I mean, suffering is, it can be a beautiful thing as long as you don't treat people bad while you're going through it. I've learned this.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that. If you treat people bad while you're going through suffering, it is not a good thing. It can be a good thing to partake in what little bit you do through the nothing like what Jesus did on the cross. But if I take that every time I'm hurting real bad, I say, Lord, I give this to you. So just a little bit of suffering of what you, nothing compared to what you went through, but this is for you. And I take it on the chin, man, you know, and he carries me through it. I wouldn't be, if it hadn't had all, you know, like I said, look at, I'm a stubborn man. I was like King David. I kept jumping off of God's back. And you know, I don't want to get my legs broke no more.
So if you had never lost your leg, would you have known Christ the way you know him today?
I do not believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. I believe it. When I surrendered that night, it was completely, I've been a Christian my whole life, but to walk the talk. I've always been able to talk a good, I know the Bible really well. I can talk a good talk, but you know, a lot of people can't, but how are you living? How are you living? And this has taken my quality of life. Been happier than I've ever been in my life. I've been happier than I've ever been. And that's only because of God.
Well, if you could go back and stop every accident, would you?
No, nope. Nothing. And I'm talking, I've been stabbed in the chest, buck knife twisted around in my chest. Stabbed up through the underneath the lung, 10 inches up to the back. I mean, I've had some horrible things happen through my life. Mm-hmm. Everything I can see where I've had growth in them. I always fall back on trials or painful situations allowed by God to change your conduct and character. And I took a lot of, God had to allow a lot of things to take place in my life to get my attention, you know, to change me. For me to be open-minded and willing enough to do the work to make the change happen. It didn't happen overnight, Ray. I had to put the work in.
Some people need more convincing than others, I guess, huh?
Oh, you know what? I'm a stubborn guy. You know? I'll tell you, if it wasn't for the 12 steps in AA, They're spiritual steps. They're good for anybody. If it wasn't for those enhancing my walk with God and with the leg being gone and everything, and all my friends, and they were just amazing. You know, I wouldn't be there if it wouldn't been for all this. So, no, I wouldn't change a thing.
Here's the question. Someone watching today may have just been diagnosed with cancer, or they just lost their spouse. Someone was in an accident. What would you tell them?
I would tell them this. It's easy to praise God when everything's going good. It really is. Now, what have you been putting into you through your life? If you're a Christian and you've been putting, say I'm holding a cup of coffee and you bump me, Ray, what's going to come out of the coffee, out of the cup? Coffee. Because that's what I've been putting in it, right?
Yeah.
So if you've been putting the Word of God in you and you get hit with life, what's going to come out?
Exactly.
The Word of God. So like me getting hit, first thing came out, I forgive that person. The program came out of me. Something I've been putting into me repeatedly. So if you want to, you know, if you want your faith to strengthen and you want to really receive God's healing, then you have to trust the Word of God. You have to trust that it works. You have to be able to go through the storm and keep your chin up. You know, I've had to go through a lot of storms, and but they're necessary for me to get where I'm at. God will pull the best out of you, and sometimes it's not the easiest way when He goes about it. I prayed for patience. I got a lot of patience now. I've got a lot of hospital time.
One more thing, Sean. I want to ask you this. If someone only remembers one thing from today's conversation, what do you hope it is?
That no matter what you go through, you got to look at the circumstances. Trust the outcome. It might not be the easiest path to get where God needs you to be, but trust me, He will get you there. He'll get you there. He'll get you where He needs you to be, where your purpose can be unfolded. But it's not always an easy road, you know. That's all. Just hang in there. Hang through the tough times. Excuse my French, but every now and then you're going to have to eat a shit sandwich. It's life. Nobody goes through life unscathed. Here's how I look at it. Everything before you came, we were put on this earth, right? God already knew everything that was going to happen to us, right? Everything. So if it was already meant, already put into play, all that matters right now is my perception, how I deal with stuff as it comes, because it's going to come no different than the way it's supposed to, good or uncomfortable. So I would say, don't call bad days, call them uncomfortable learning days. My friend Tommy Doherty, my old sponsor in AA, he just passed. He's always said, Sean, they're not bad days, they're uncomfortable learning days, allowed by God to change your conduct and character. So every time I have something that's rough or something I'm going through, like let's just say I just got my prosthetic up and it doesn't fit. Now they have to start the whole process over again. Did I get upset? You would think I would after waiting 6 months, being in a wheelchair, you know, but 6 months since they started it, but it all has to start over again. I don't know why, but guess what? God must have a reason for it. So I sit patiently one more time. You see what you hear when you can hear. You talk when you can talk, and you walk when you can walk. And it's just not time for me to walk yet. So it's all about God's timing, not ours. And that's where the patience and the faith comes in.
There are people that are questioning God after a tragedy. You know, just things that are unexpected. People with depression, disabilities, and whatnot. I want to end this this podcast maybe with a little prayer. How do you feel about praying for some of these things right now?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, Ray, I want to say one thing real quick. You know, I had a few years ago. You can walk through anything if you lean on God. A few years ago, I lost my dad and my son to a fentanyl overdose. I've also lost a baby years back. So now I love my son, my dad, and my two best friends all within a year and a half, 2 years. And I stood firm in my faith. I stood firm. I knew that I enjoyed the time I had with them, and it was time for them to go home. And then going through all the surgeries, you can imagine everything that hit me all at once. And I made it through it with God. You can make it through anything, but you can't do it alone.
Amen.
You can't do it alone.
Well, why don't you go ahead and let's end this with prayer, Sean.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, with two of our gathered here in our midst, dear Lord, we pray that anybody out there that's going through any kind of suffering or turmoil, as you let them know that you're here with them, to comfort them, to guide them along the way. They just have to completely surrender to you, Lord, and live obedient to your word. It's not always easy. You won't always be perfect at it. But you get back up and you go again. You do not stop. Father God, I relapsed in and out of AA probably 300 times, but your grace kept allowing me back in. It's not always like that for people, but you don't give up. That's my story in these rooms. I used to be the chronic relapser, and now I'm the guy that never gave up. So you just don't give up. Trust God, clean house, and help others. Just be a simple servant for Christ. None of us are special. Well, we're special to God. We're special, but we're all the same. Nobody's better than anybody else. We're just all on this earth trying to make it through to do the best we can. So I pray, Lord, that you just heal, comfort, guide, direct, and give ease and peace of mind to anybody going through any kind of trauma right now, and show them that there is a way. The only way is through you, God. And I pray for everybody out there in the name of Jesus right now. Amen.
Amen. All right, Sean. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, well, stick around. We're going to sign off right now.
I really look forward. And people, wait till you hear Ernie Perea. Perea, I idolize that man. He is a good man. He's the man that taught me. It showed me that I didn't listen to nobody. You know, he's just a good man, you guys. So don't tune in for that one, because that's an amazing fighter with an amazing story. Thank you, Ray.
All right, Sean. All right. Well, we'll see you next time.
Oh, wait. Let me let my grandson say hi. Come here, Scotty. You got to get on here. Come here. This is my little grandson, Scotty. You got a lot of grandkids. Say hi, Scotty.
Hi.
Now tell him. Hi. Scotty, ask him if he loves Jesus.
Do you love Jesus?
Yes, I do.
He says, yes, he does. He always tells me, you got to love Jesus, Papa. You go to hell. Hell don't like Jesus, and Jesus don't like hell. You got to do right, Papa, huh?
Okay.
All righty.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Okay. God bless you, Ray.
God bless.
Are you ready to commit your life to Jesus? But not sure how? Maybe this will help.
You can say something like this. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry. I need a Savior. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, that He rose from the dead on the third day. Forgive me of my sins. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior now and forever. Amen. Revelations 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Thank you for spending time with us on the Scripture News Podcast. We look forward to seeing you again soon. Bye for now, and God bless.